We rise. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we read our text, I'd like you to do an exercise with me. I'd like you to take a deep breath. Go ahead and breathe in some air and then slowly exhale. We read our text, which comes from Psalm 150. Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty firmament, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with the sound of trumpet, praise Him with the lute and harp, praise Him with the timbrel and dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes, praise Him with loud cymbals, praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the Word of God. You may be seated. What made it possible for you to take those breaths? You can always stop breathing. You can hold your breath. That doesn't always feel so good. What made it possible for you to breathe? We read in our text, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed. If we are breathing, then we have every reason to be praising because of who gave us this breath and this life. It wasn't by our own doing. We praise God in His sanctuary for His mighty acts and in every way we know. What is church? You could probably define the word church more than 8 different ways, depending on the context. In the next month, we'll be taking up a study in adult Bible class concerning worship. What is true worship? And this is going to begin next week as we discuss what is church. Because it's important to understand what church is, to understand what worship and praise are all about. Verse 1 says, praise God in His sanctuary. We should understand, first of all, what that word sanctuary means. It means God's holy place. And the word holy means to be set apart. So it's speaking of that place where God is set apart from sin. The place where He dwells in His holiness. It is church. Where do we go to worship and praise God? Now you're probably thinking, Pastor, that's an easy question to answer. We come to this building every Sunday to worship and praise God. But again, I ask you, what is church? Is it really the walls? Is it the pews you're sitting in? Is it the pulpit and the lectern before you that make church? At the time of the Reformation in the 16th century, our Lutheran forefathers battled this question. And so in the Book of Concord, published in 1580, they wrote, the church is not merely an association of our ties and rites, traditions, like other civic governments. However, but it is mainly an association of faith and of the Holy Spirit in men's hearts. To make it recognizable, this association has outward marks, the pure teaching of the gospel, and the administration of the sacraments in harmony with the gospel of Christ. So in the Apostles' Creed, for instance, when you say, I believe in the Holy Christian Church and the communion of saints, you're really saying the same thing in both those phrases, because the communion of saints is the Holy Christian Church. It is the place where God dwells. As the Book of Concord goes on, the church, in the proper sense, is the assembly of the saints who believe in the gospel of Christ. meaning it's more than the pews, it's not the walls, it's you gathering around God's Word. To be in His sanctuary is to have God's Word being spoken. When Jesus, teaching His disciples about what church was, what God's sanctuary is, said, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, I am there in the midst of them." That is God's dwelling place. But notice, Jesus says, "in My name," meaning Jesus has to be here with us. Without Jesus' name and everything He's done for us, we would be left to come to God's presence all on our own. We would have all our sins laid on our shoulders and all the demands to really be holy before God, because as we said, God is set apart from sin. So if anything is going to come into His presence, it's got to be holy. It has to be set apart from sin. You can't drag your sins into the presence of the Almighty God and expect to stand, expect to be one with Him. Jesus has to be there. Praise God in His sanctuary. This is why our liturgy is important to understand what it's all about as we go through our worship every Sunday and as we're going to be studying in Bible study. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That means when we're coming to church, we are calling upon God's presence through Christ, so that the first thing we do is confess our sins. That's the first part of every service. We sing a hymn and then we confess our sins. That's because as this liturgy was designed, it was meant to be not actually part of the service, but an introduction to the service. So before we get to the introit, we confess our sins. We are cleansed of all that is wrong with us in Jesus' name to come into God's sanctuary. As Moses had to take off his sandals to stand before the burning bush, he was standing on holy ground. So we have our sins lifted off of our shoulders, and we come holy before God because of everything Christ has done. In faith, abiding in Him, we are set apart to enter His sanctuary. What is the basis of our praise then once we get there? Once we get to God's presence? Again, take a deep breath. Evolutionists would have you think that what you just did, being alive, is a result of that infinitesimal improbability of random chance. That you only are alive as a result of that random event that is so improbable that probability can hardly even calculate it. In fact, evolution could be compared to building a house. Imagine yourself going to Menards, buying a home builder's kit, getting all the supplies to build a house. You get the wood, the nails, the caulk, the shingles, the siding, and we won't even include the plumbing and the electricity. And then you take a helicopter and you scoop up all those parts, and you go into a field and you simply let them fall. Evolution is like expecting that house to be put together perfectly as it hits the ground. That is the probability that they present in this random chance called the Big Bang. It's like that house being put together all on its own, and even then, they don't acknowledge that you still had to go and get the parts. You still had to do something to initiate that, and they still can't explain what happened before that to cause these things to start, to put the materials there. Yes, inhale and exhale. God has given you the breath of life. Job confessed, "In whose hands is the life of everything living and the breath of all mankind?" He gives. We merely receive. However, too often our praise is centered more in our own mighty acts. What great things have I done? Or Why is God holding me back from more? We like credit. And even when we say we don't, down deep, part of us really does like to get the credit. Whether it's picking up a piece of litter on the road, helping out with your neighbor, or in any way, we want people to know that we did these things. This is where we find ourselves too focused on me and not focused enough on those around me, where we end up suffocating the breath we've been given because we're so focused on doing it ourselves and getting the credit ourselves. We suffocate others or we suffocate ourselves. As Isaiah said, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Yes, inhale and exhale. As we said before, who is enabling you to do that? Is your life about you living or about God giving? What I mean to say is your spiritual life about you giving something to God or someone else or about you receiving something from God? Too many churches are focused on something you need to do when you come to worship, when you are in your Christian life, rather than realizing that it's going to happen all on its own by God working through you. Jesus said in our scripture reading, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Abiding by faith in Jesus is to be alive. It's to receive the breath, the oxygen, to nourish you, to give you what you need to produce fruit. By faith in Jesus, we simply will produce. It's not a question of, am I praising? It's a question of faith. An inevitable act. Because it's all centered in the mightiest act of all, God's redemption. Having cleansed you and bought you back from sin. Restored you from every selfish ways and set you right through Jesus Christ. Whatever your self-service might have been, it is no more. Because you are in Christ. Praise then is not about what I must do. It centers on what Christ has done. Giving him the credit for everything he's done as it's reflected in your life. Praise the Lord for his mighty acts. God does indeed deserve praise in every way. Notice the wide variety of instruments that the psalmist notes. From trumpet to stringed instruments to dancing and singing. All these things, clashing cymbals. So many different ways that God can be praised. Praise does not just need to be limited to the organ. It can be so much more. When David's son, King Solomon, finished building the temple, it was time to finally bring the Ark of the Covenant into God's temple. And so to accompany this ceremony, this procession, he assigned some 120 priests with trumpets to stand before the altar, along with all sorts of other musical instruments. We read, indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the temple. We can see how the words of the psalm apply to Israel. As God visited his people in their temple. And all the praise that they were sounding forth. And yet how do these words apply to us here? In the year 2012 at Ascension. Do we have 120 priests standing before us, blowing their trumpets? When possible, we do have an organ accompany us, but for the most part, we have a computer bringing us our musical accompaniment. Even though the psalmist did not say, "Praise him with the sounds of Winamp," I think it still applies if you think slowly and carefully about what praise really is. Because is God concerned about how many musicians we can provide in our church services? If he was, it would all be centered on us, on what church can have the flashiest music or the most instruments. But that's not what praise is all about. Yes, it's wonderful when we can have the ILC tour choir come here and have drums and trumpets and flutes and stringed instruments and beautiful voices praising God. It's wonderful that we can support the work of our church synod so that a school like Emmanuel can continue to praise God and raise up young people to show forth their gifts in God's sanctuary. And yet, in the early New Testament church, how many instruments did they have as they were persecuted and had to hide in their own homes or in tombs as they were worshiping there, as they gathered around a table with some bread and some wine and the Word of God? They were still praising God because they had the Word and God was visiting them with his blessings. Colossians 3 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Our praises come in whatever way God has given you the gift to do so. It doesn't have to be defined by a musical instrument. In fact, it doesn't have to be music at all. In every way, praise the Lord. Romans chapter 12, Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service," that your whole body is God's place of praise. Everything you do is God's praise. Whether it's helping with church property, helping the Lord through the ladies group, through ushering, through serving in different ways, on church cleaning days, these are all ways that we praise the Lord. I'm not alive because I'm living. I'm alive because he's giving. Take that big breath once again. You can breathe a sigh of relief because the weight of achieving perfect praise does not lie on your shoulders. If you are breathing in Christ, you are praising God. Jesus has taken all that pressure off you. He's offered a perfect praise to God in your place, doing everything out of perfect love, and this flows forth by abiding in him. We simply breathe. To God, the only wise, the one immortal King, let hallelujahs rise from every living thing. Let all that breathe on every coast praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I am breathing, I am living, and Christ is giving. Amen. We rise.